I'm glad to hear your voice again. Not that it wasn't great last weekend as well, but I trust your vacation went well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It did. We had a great time. Great time. And it's great to hear your voice again. You're the first guest we've had back, so that should tell you something. So.
All right. First in line. Let's go.
Let's go. Can anybody make any rhyme or reason out of Devin Bush's thought process 3 weeks before training camp?
Not at all. Not at all. My God, a lot of that came up just sort of like, it's a holiday weekend, you're out with the family, you get a Twitter alert on the phone, it's like, what is going on? I don't even want to know. Never mind. Whatever it is, I think we can probably say a combination of you're hoping he's healthy, he's ready to get back on the field. We don't know what his status is or what it's going to be. I don't think it's 100% that he starts training camp on time, just given the nature of the injury as well as the timing of it. But probably more than anything, it's July. Let's just hope that, you know, maybe everybody's a little stir crazy, and the types of things that we've witnessed him discussing or liking in social media are not things that are going to happen on the regular, and he can just get out there doing the things that he does really well, and he can do that with two healthy legs and lead a defense that's still going to be among the NFL's best this year.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, is there any idea where he stands physically?
I have not heard anything, and I think that is probably intentional. They don't like to release information unless it's something where they're going to cut a player, David DeCastro.
Yeah,
In Bush's case, I mean, the injury he sustained was in November.
Yeah.
We know from what we've seen in the past, for what the team has said in the past, they consider ACL tears and subsequent surgeries to be 12-month-long rehabilitation processes. So with that, you have to think, you know, they expect the player, I should add this, they expect the player to be back to 100% of what they're going to be moving forward after 12 months of rehab, of the work that they put in. That would mean if Devin Bush is on the field in late July, early August, he's a ways off from being 100%. So it kind of suggests that maybe he opens the year opens training camp on the PUP list. He's not going to be out there for much training camp as he continues to rehab it. But we've also seen guys get back on the field and look okay, maybe not 100%, but they're putting them out there earlier than perhaps we've seen in the past. So I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what Bush's status will be. I think we'll find out about that, 10 minutes after the run test at La Trobe, July 27th or whenever it is that they report. So I don't know, but that's going to be one of the biggest questions early for this team. And we know that he's not going to be 100%, not in the estimation of the Steelers, which comes from their medical staff. He's not going to be at the point where he was right before he got injured. So is it a total wash for the season? Are they going to kind of shut him down early and not really give him a camp and have him, you know, try to continue rehabbing as best he can to be healthy come, you know, October, November? Or are they just going to throw him in the fire right away? I don't know. But the selection of Buddy Johnson perhaps had a reason. They needed to build some depth there because they know that they're going to be without Bush for the first little while in training camp. I don't mean he's going to miss games, but I just, looking at the timeline, I'm not sure if he is legitimately going to be 100% of the player he is. Whether he gets out there or not, I don't think it's the same thing. We need to see him, banging inside the tackles and chasing ball carriers down just to see what type of player he is. And it'll be a little bit until we get to that point, but I don't think he's going to be 100% to start training camp.
All right. Obviously, when you have a first pick, the first pick's going to garner a lot of attention. Of the draft picks that they have that they're going to bring in, give me a couple guys you're looking at to see if they can be a part of this roster and maybe help out. You know, it may turn out, Neil, that they don't, because it's just the way it is. But a couple guys you'd like to keep an eye on to see if they're worth being on the team.
Worth being on the team. it's an interesting question for this year, because I've said this on this segment before. I don't think they can cut any of the rookies. I think they have to keep them all.
Right.
At the same time, though, they also have an expanded practice squad again this year. So you can get the rookies through camp, and then typically there's kind of an unwritten agreement that, you know, the rookies they get cut at the end of camp, you don't get to pick them up. You let the team have them clear waivers and then go through. But for me, I really like Buddy Johnson. I like him as a college player. I think he's a bit undersized.
Right.
He's a good player. I don't think he's big enough yet to be effective at the NFL level. Quincy Roche, I think, is somebody that a lot of fans are really excited about. A lot of people say he was probably drafted a bit lower than he should have been. I'm not sure I buy into that for an edge rusher. Edge rushers typically don't fall in terms of value. There's a reason they didn't draft him that high. That said, there are a lot of teams that view each round with different philosophical lenses. And the Steelers seem to be a team that draft sixth-round picks with the idea of them being contributors.
Mm-hmm.
They don't look at them as projects. They're not just throwing darts at a board. A player like that has, he has playing potential. He isn't an athletic freak. He doesn't really have the pizzazz that you might get from a higher pick in terms of his athleticism or his size. But he's a guy I think can play in terms of how he battles, the way he uses his hands coming off the edge. I think he's a bit more advanced. And I think he's a guy that they probably need perhaps more than the other ones. So I think, to me, there's value in that. Being able to keep a player who can provide you some special teams depth as well as your ability to rush off the edge. I think that's, by and large, what they're going to get from all the players that they have this year are going to have to be able to contribute something. I think a lot of them are going to be kept and asked to play special teams right away, because I really don't think they're overly deep. You know, they're kind of shallow overall, and certainly for next year as well. I think the one everyone's going to talk about, though, is probably Dan Moore,
right?
The tackle out of Texas A&M. Their tackle position is what they saw with the guard position this year. I'm choosing my words carefully here.
I
don't need it exactly the same, but they have a Zach Banner is signed he signed a 2-year deal, but it's not difficult for the team to walk away from him after this season. And Chuck Okorafor is not signed next year.
Right.
They drafted a guy in the fourth round who shows that he can play a bit of zone. He's not perhaps the shining example of dominance at the tackle position that was available in this draft, but a year of probably swing tackle duty could lead him to a starting spot. But did they have that in mind when they drafted him in the fourth round? You know, to me, that's kind of the question. Let's see what he can do behind some veterans. Let's see what he can do against, you know, kind of his roster peers in preseason games. I'm intrigued. I liked what I saw him in some ways. I used to get excited about the kind of mid to lower to not drafted players, the offensive linemen the Steelers would bring in. They developed those guys well. It's not that I'm not excited about his physical ability or his makeup or anything like that. I think he was kind of a necessary pick for them in a lot of ways. It makes me wonder, did they really value him as a top 110 player, or is this a guy they had to draft at the spot they did to make sure that they got a tackle around the level that they wanted somebody to be? I'm curious about that with him. I can see that really going either way. I'm not sure how good he is overall, but there are a lot of things that you can like about him from a scheme perspective, from a zone-based run game, which all indications are that they're going to run that heavy this year. Looks like he can do that. So they can build him into that perhaps for a starting job next year. They might need to do that, depending on whatever happens with two players that don't really have great job security who are going to start this year at tackle for him.
With training camp coming up in 3 weeks, with the NFL Players Association, and it's filtered down to all levels of football, there's less hitting than ever when it comes to the camp. Right? What does that do to the value of preseason games? Because for some players, especially those trying to make the team, that's where the hitting will take place.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. I think a lot of teams can say, if we have to go light in terms of contact during camp, which they do, they have more days off than they used to, and the padded practices aren't as plentiful as they have been in the past. You get out on you know, the preseason stage, you need to be able to hit somebody, and they're going to call stuff in order to do that. If you want to find out if your offensive lineman can handle, you know, straight-up power run blocking, you're going to call power runs. That's a lot of what we see, I think, especially the second half of most preseason games. You need to get a good idea of how guys can handle physical football at the NFL level under the stadium lights, as Mike Tomlin would say. I think you need to do that. I think they eliminated a preseason game. So with that, I think they need to make up for it in some way. And I think those padded practices are probably going to be that level of makeup this year.
Right.
A very popular one for the Steelers in training camp is backs on backers. That's a fun drill to watch. It's definitely very exciting to report on. I know some of the biggest headlines you'll get is backs on backers. Some random guy stands up a veteran linebacker and people go nuts. It's great. But by and large, I think they're going to need to find out if those guys can do that, because really you're not blitzing in preseason games. How can you ask your running backs to stand into a blitz if you don't have any idea what they're doing beyond preseason action, which doesn't really happen? So for them, I think they're going to need to do those, more of those kinds of drills. In a lot of ways, I think it just makes individual practices more physical than what we're used to seeing. And that can be good, it can be bad, it really kind of depends on how they handle it. But I think for this Steelers team, the defensive players are going to have to show a lot in order to make the roster, in order to show why they deserve to be there. Those positions are a lot more set in stone right now, I think, than what you're seeing on the offensive side of the ball. So to make it more physical, it's going to have to come within practice, and probably things like backs on backers they'll have to do more of, because they don't get that fourth preseason game mentality anymore. You know, two of them might be kind of like that, but there's still a lot of snaps that they're not going to get to evaluate. So, yeah, that's an excellent question. I wonder how Tomlin would respond to that if he says anything to it, but maybe we'll just have to ask him.
How do you feel about I know the NFL's the one that shot it down, not the Steelers, but is there any difference in your mind? And does it help you in some ways that they're just going to have the training camp in Pittsburgh for the second straight year and not in Latrobe?
You know, I'm not reporting anything. I just do think it's very interesting that if you were to have given out a trophy last season for compliance with all the COVID stuff, if the Steelers didn't win it, they were in a hot contention for it.
Oh, we know that would be the story here at Penn State in terms of the compliance with COVID.
Yeah,
absolutely. Penn State would have been an award winner.
If we trust that they did all of these things well last year, what happened to them not being compliant this year? I don't know how much I'd buy that. And I'm just saying it because it just seems weird to me. Mike Tomlin said plainly leading into the season, whichever team handles this the best is going to be the champion. And they put a lot into handling it well. They spoke well to the message. They played several opponents who didn't handle it all that well, and they ended up suffering because of it. They handled it well. Why is it that they didn't get cleared to go to training camp? It's hard for me to think just plainly that they didn't. Maybe they don't really want to. Maybe they don't feel it's all that much of an advantage.
Yep.
I don't know. But to some degree, it totally depends on who you ask. But to some degree, the players are probably going to prefer to be at their headquarters, staying in a hotel as opposed to the dorm,
right?
Those kinds of things. I think reasonably, it's fair to you know, dare suggest that players don't really like the throwback mentality that the fans do when it comes to training camp. And I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm not suggesting anything either. I just think that maybe this is sort of, you know, the NFL can fall on the sword and the Steelers get another year to maybe inch into the idea that they don't want to do everything at La Trobe anymore. This is another year that maybe there are some things that they can still do in La Trobe, but by and large, pretty much everybody nowadays is doing stuff at their headquarters. The Steelers got a feel for that last year. Maybe they liked it. I don't know. But, you know, as we're talking here, we've spoken a bunch in the past of how mediocre the Steelers tended to come out and start the season, right?
Right.
That's been a talking point for a decade with Mike Tomlin. They started off pretty well last year.
Yeah.
We weren't really complaining when they were 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 0. Who's to say that they don't feel there was something to what they did and what their training camp schedule was really like? I don't know. I guarantee you we won't hear that from the Steelers organization.
Right.
But let's see what it looks like come week one, week two, week three this year. Let's see what it looks like.
My friend, great to hear you back on the other end.
Definitely. Glad you're back. And I'm looking forward to talking real football here soon, just a couple weeks.
Yep, couple weeks. Thanks so much, Neil.
Thanks, guys.